How do you gain control of your life? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Grace Harmon, who lost control of her life through alcoholism.
You know, I think in life, it's easy for us to feel like we're in control of our lives, that we can take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and everything will be okay. I'm in control.
But then sometimes we lose control. Mm-hmm. And if you lose that control, what do? You know, when you get to the point where you lose control, maybe become an addict to something, it starts destroying your life. And you're like, okay, no. I'm going to get away from this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get away from it. But then you're like, well, I just need it one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take it that one more time. And then you completely fall off the horse and you're just back to the old spiral of the old addiction.
And it's so true because, to be honest with you, I believe that we're all trying to fulfill something in our lives, trying to fulfill our hearts. Whether we try to do it through good things or bad things, we're all trying to fill a void. And what happens is, instead of filling that void spiritually, we look for physical things, whether they're good or bad. And someone once said, we're all addicted to something, but what is that? Well, I want to be addicted to the Lord. I want to fill up on spiritual things. So those other things, they're minute. I don't need those things.
Well, you know, we could be addicted to drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it is. We're all trying to fill that need.
Right.
But even if we're like, no, I'm going to do more positive things. I'm going to go work out at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to eat food or something like that, right?
Right, healthy.
But we're still never going to get filled up because we're trying to fill a spiritual reality with something that's physical and will never get filled up. That's why in the Bible it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things, they'll just be added to you. Because if you really want the right thing to not cause the hole in your life, you need to get it filled with God.
Mm-hmm.
God will be the only addiction that will cause the problem of needing, that neediness to begin to disappear in your life.
The only way you'll ever be fulfilled is to surrender your life to God, and He will fill that void. Let's hear from Grace Harmon after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Angel Nails and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Want the pampering you deserve? Come to Angel Nails, your one-stop shop for healthy, long-lasting nail care, including innovative, hydrating manicures and pedicures. Angel Nails is conveniently located in the Applewood Village Shopping Center at 3460 Youngfield Street in Wheat Ridge, just off I-70. Come to Angel Nails with or without an appointment or call them at 303-234-0702. That's 234-0702.
Do you like listening to the Real Life Radio Show and wish you had a way to share these powerful testimonies with others? Well, now you can. Go to our website at awakeningthenations.com and select from 25 different CDs, each containing 6 Real Life Radio Shows covering specific topics such as addiction, pornography, witchcraft, sexual abuse, suicide, and more. For a small donation, we'll send you CDs of your choice. Just go to www.awakeningthenations.com and order yours today. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us is Grace Harmon. She thought she was in control of alcohol, but it was actually controlling her. At 14 years old, she started to drink alcohol and became an alcoholic who was in denial. We're going to find out more about that right now. Let's welcome to the show, Grace. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. So I understand at 14 years old, you started to drink. And what led up to that is that your parents were divorced when you were 6 years old. You were living half time with your mom, half time with your dad. And your mom drank very heavily. She went through so many different things herself, even mental illness. And your mom felt it was very hard for her. Tell me a little bit about your life and how you felt during that time.
Well, during that time frame, she was very mentally ill. And so she relied heavily on me to take care of my younger brother and my younger sister. And that led me to have a lot of pressure put on top of me, what I felt was pressure. I was responsible for cooking the dinner, doing the laundry, going to school, taking care of the kids, and paying bills. Otherwise, we would not have sometimes electricity or running water.
Mm.
The stress of having to grow up quickly And all that being put on me was just over the top. It just put a heaviness on me that I just felt like I couldn't get rid of it. I couldn't leave.
And I understand that you went through some depression, and through that you started to drink more and even took pills and tried cocaine.
Yes, with all that stress over the years, just not being able to have an outlet, not being able to talk to anyone about how I felt and what was going on with my life, I became deeper and deeper into depression and started taking drugs and doing pills and doing cocaine, anything that would take that hard heaviness off of me. It was my only escape. It was the only avenue that I knew how to get freedom from my mind and what I was feeling.
So tell me what it feels like to desire alcohol, to desire drinking, and how you thought you were in control of it and you didn't even know you were an alcoholic. Tell me about that.
Well, I always thought I was in control because I was already controlling what was in the house. I was already controlling the finances. I was already controlling the other children in the house. So I always thought I could take care of this. I can control myself. I'm already responsible at a very young age, so I can be responsible for myself, whether it's drug, whether it's drinking. And it was just total denial. It was just untrue. It was not true. Mm-hmm. When I look back at how I really truly was, it was really just out of control.
Wow.
The truth is, I really couldn't stop. And the urge that sat inside of me was so much deeper than even the depression. It's almost like that addiction just took over the depression and the heaviness that sat on top of me.
Wow.
It just piled on like a stack of dishes, one after another, after another, after another. And for me to just even pass by a liquor store at times when I was just rock bottom and wanting to stop drinking, because at that point I was starting to feel so suicidal, I would cry, I don't want to go to the liquor store one more time, one more day. I don't want to spend my money on alcohol, beer, drinking, anything. I don't want to anymore. And I just couldn't stop.
Wow.
I couldn't stop. I would either sit home and cry, and then the urge would just come over and I would take off and I would go.
Wow.
And it was just like a part of me just disconnected, just disconnected from everyone. And I just had to have it no matter what.
And I understand you decided to run away to Vegas to get rid of alcohol or get rid of your life, really, thinking that if you went to another state that everything bad would go away and you can start afresh. But there you were with the same problems, and then you started dating a guy, and that actually brought you to rock bottom. Tell me about that.
Yes, actually, him and I were both drinking a lot together very heavily, and it bothered me at that point because I said to myself, I moved here not to be like this again. I moved here for a fresh start, and the problems just followed me all over again. But one night we had a party for my boyfriend's friend, and they were riding ATVs in the street, and we were all drunk. We were all drinking, and he crashed the ATV head on into a car, and my boyfriend killed his friend in that ATV accident. And I could hear it. And as I ran out the door, I could see bleeding everywhere. And I thought to myself, you know, if he did this to his friend, that's what's going to happen to me. If he's negligent with a good friend, he'll be negligent with me.
Wow. That's so true that sometimes these things happen, that who we're around is who we become. And it's just this constant thing where someone's pulling us down. And how can you get out of that? You know, how can you get away from alcohol when who you're around, they're also drinking? And from that point, you had a life change where you said, I need God. But prior to this, you weren't seeking God. You didn't even really care to know God. But after that, you went to a church and you gave your life to the Lord. But it wasn't till you moved back to Colorado where things changed. Tell me about that.
Well, yes, and that's right. My mother was sick and she asked me to move back. She had cancer and she needed someone to take care of her. And so I did move back to Colorado, but that urge still did not go away. Yes, I attended church, but I was still very, very bound. And just to walk by a liquor store on Friday night right after church or drive by the liquor store on Friday night was such an excruciating pain that sat inside of me that caused more depression to sit inside of me to say, I just want to have that last drink. If I just drink it tonight, I won't do it again tomorrow. I won't do it next week, and I'm just going to stop. But that never happened. That did not stop. And so I was still drinking and even getting up and going to church on Sunday mornings, hungover, just in my desperation to say, I don't know what to do with myself. If I don't start somewhere, I'm not sure I'm even going to be able to live beyond where I'm at right now. because the seriousness of the drinking and the way I was feeling emotionally and physically was overpowering me, just who I knew as myself. Wow. And also feeling afraid that if I walked by the liquor store on a Friday afternoon, that I couldn't just keep on driving, that I had to drive in that parking lot, get out, and get something.
Wow. And you went to church completely hungover one day, and you said something to God, and you got complete freedom. Tell me what happened.
I went to church on that Sunday, the night before. I had drinking a lot of tequila and margaritas. And I got up anyway, and I said, I'm just going. And I sat in the front of the church, and I said, God, if you're real, if you are real, as everyone says that you are, you're going to save me. You're going to touch me. You're going to take this away from me so that I can have a life. I want to have a life. And right at that moment, I just felt this light come upon me. It was just so bright and so hot. I was even at the point of sweating, and I just felt this heaviness and all these things being removed coming out of me. Oh. I don't know how to explain it other than that. Just a magnificent light that came upon me, and all these things started to come out. And I was just feeling lighter, lighter, and lighter, and lighter. Wow. So I was standing there asking God, please help me, please help me. And I told him, I said, if you do this for me, I'll know that you're the real God, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. Because I had no faith. Wow. In any of that.
Wow.
I didn't know who God is. I didn't want anything to do with God. Not at all.
Mm. In that moment, he lifted that desire and alcohol from you. He pulled it out of you. It was like a spiritual moment.
Wow.
Something that was taken away, and you were set free from alcoholism as you called out to the Lord. And there are people now listening that are needing that freedom. What's one word, something simple you could say to someone who needs hope, who doesn't think God could do it for them? What would you say to that person?
Don't give up. Do not give up. At all costs, do not give up. Because if he did it for me, he'll do it for you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, Grace, for being with us. We're going to pray for those who are listening, and they're going to get the hope that you have.
Father God, we just thank you so much for this testimony. But I think that's something that is so relatable for so many people. When they get into an addiction, there's a deception in it which says, gosh, I'll just do it one more time and then I'll quit. It'll just be one time. It won't be as bad, but it's a deception because every single time we sink a little lower and lower. Father, I'm praying for someone who's listening right now, and the addiction might be to alcohol, drugs, could even be pornography, whatever it is. Don't do that one more time. Jesus, give us the strength to stand this one time, to stand and to say no more, and give us the power, set us free, deliver us from all addictions. And that prayer for anyone who's struggling with addiction right now.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask for this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.